Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to this edition of the podcast. Today, I have special guest, Thiago Faria. Sorry.
Yes.
Got it. I had a moment of where it slipped.
That was perfect. That was actually perfect.
Awesome. Thiago, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, sir. True honor to be here, and I hope people can take something out of this quick conversation we're going to have here.
Absolutely. Let's start off the podcast with a description of who you are, what you do, and how you got there.
Yes. So I'm Thiago Faria. I'm from Lisbon, Portugal. So I'm on the other side of the pond. As a quick background, I worked at Google for 8 years in Dublin, Ireland. So the European headquarters. Had a blast, 8 years there, but then got tired of the corporate world, came back to Portugal, started helping out here local entrepreneurs, local businesses. But I was complicating my life too much with all those advanced funnels and ads for myself and for my clients. So the last years, I've been trying to simplify as much as possible this thing of marketing and business to its core, to its basis that are timeless, you know, that will be applicable to any kind of context, environment, etc. I call it the anti-marketing method, what I currently am helping my clients do, which is basically just leveraging your current network, what you already have in your world, and also tapping into other people's networks without needing to use any complex marketing strategies or going constantly after the cold audiences. And it has three easy steps that we can develop as we go on, if you want.
Absolutely. Now, this is, you know, a fundamental thing, right? Because everyone talks about funnels and everything's about funnels, and too many people, like, look, the olden days, you have 50% off, 25% off, and it didn't matter what product you had, somebody wanted to buy it. Today, everything's on sale every hour of every day. And when you see another sale, there's nothing special about it. And plus, people have seen it so much, they're sick of the sales. So then we got into what we call the funnels, right? So where you get this ad, it sounds interesting, you click on it, and now you got to fill in the form. And, you know, that's what people say you have to do. Now, people who try to get you to go straight to your website, it's usually never productive. For whatever reason, when people go to a website, they just decide they're not going to bother contacting you. But when you do the stupid form, they do. And instead of calling it a forum, we call it a funnel. Where I'm going with this is, obviously everyone's starting to do this. It's kind of trying to be like, it's, for lack of a better description, it's been bastardized. So it's one of those things that it's overdone. People are sick of clicking on things, then have to give out their information to get anything that they want. Now, when they're clicking on things, they're clicking on it to get something you offered. They see something, they want to get the information, so they click. Now they got to fill in the crap, and people are just fed up with this. So you got a good point here. So let's get into, you know, like, what made you decide to stop the funnel? Like, and where's the problem with the funnel today, besides the fact that it's overdone?
Yeah, I think it works. Obviously, funnels work at a certain point in your business career and stage of your business. But I believe that until you reach a certain stage where if you don't have an offer that is proven to be consistently working, that you have a lifetime value completely proven, until then, I don't believe you actually need to go after those big complex funnels and ad strategies, etc. Because it just confuses. I was one of those cases. I just get more confused and jump from strategy to strategy, you know, the shiny objects, you know, the one funnel away. And it gets you overly distracted because you're trying to find the easy button using the complex things. But usually that's not the easiest place to go, because if you try to go after new relationships constantly, that's actually the hardest and longest route to try to find, to meet someone for the first time, to get them to know you very quickly and trust you and like you. That's the most complex way to do marketing. And I truly believe that you should first start with your established relationships. Okay. So that's, I had this realization once I read this book from Mr. Jay Abraham, Getting Everything You Can Out of All You've Got. So I really focused on this last sentence, all you've got. So my strategy basically is with the three M's, if I can explain quickly.
Please do.
So the first M is to basically mobilize. It's the mobilize M, which, because most people create offers or like products or services from their own head, thinking that people will need what they're trying to create, like a product or service. But the problem is that most of the times the market wants something completely different than we have in our minds, because they're at different stages. We already know all the secrets. We already know how it works. But if you try to mobilize your established relationships, your contacts, your previous clients, even your current audience, you can have them help you create something, an offer that they actually want to buy right now. That I can expand a bit more on that, because I like to tell my clients to, okay, just go interview 5 to 10 people and ask them questions. Like, what are their main frustrations? What are they feeling like? What does their day-to-day look like? Because if you extract those emotional words, those emotional needs, and you reflect it when you're communicating your offers to the market, it will resonate much easier. And they will feel like, oh, yeah, this is exactly for me. My God, I need to buy this, right? So right. First step of the, yeah, sorry.
I was going to add a point to what you're saying here, right? And which is something a lot of people do and without realizing it. Like, prime example, one of my businesses is in the real estate business. Yeah. And where I'm going with this is that a lot of times my fellow agents is like, I got a new listing. You know, here's my new listing. That's their Instagram post. Now, the problem is that other realtors, mortgage brokers, and people in the industry knows what a listing is. Now, really experienced investors would have heard that term before. But what about the first-time home buyers? They are not looking for listings. They're looking for houses. So when they see, here's my new listing, first thing is it doesn't resonate with people because they don't know what that is. So it's important that you remember that you have industry lingo, and you guys are the only ones who learn that. Stop using industry lingos when you're promoting yourself or advertising yourself or conversing with people, and actually use terms that the everyday person would understand.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a natural tendency, unfortunately. We come with our frameworks and our, like you said, your buzzwords and stuff like that. But it doesn't reflect what the market actually talks about in their own heads, right? So that's the first thing, is to first to understand exactly what the conversations they're having in their heads, what keeps them awake at night, right? Like, what do their day look like, right? And if we tap into that, those emotional words or those descriptions, etc., it's going to be much easier. Our life's going to be much easier. It's something it took me the hard way to learn this, because we all have the tendency of hiding behind our computers and creating something from scratch and inputting all our knowledge and experiences, but we forget to do this simple step that is so easy, just to talk to people. But it's also very easy not to do, right? And most of us skip it, unfortunately. So I try to mobilize my client. Okay, mobilize your own clients and make them help you create something that they want to buy, right?
Right.
That's the first step, yeah.
Which comes up with 2 points here now. Now, one point is, like, prime example, the whole emotional attachment thing is, you know, that's what Steve Jobs used to do, right? He introduced the iPod. It wasn't an iPod where it was an MP3 player, because that's what it was. It was music in your pocket. And that's how people related to it. Now, I got a 2-part question here, which the 1-part question here is going to be, how do you get that emotional, you know, touch point to that people resonate with you? Because I might be emotional about something and you might not be. Now, is there a certain key? Are you targeting a certain person or a certain group of people with that emotional? Or does it mean, you know, when you try to get that emotional, you're trying to be generic? Like, how do you know what's emotional? Because what's emotional to me may not be emotional to you. I may talk about something that I find that is warm and welcoming, and you may look at that and go, I don't give a crap. You know what I mean? So how do you determine what that is?
That's a great point, John, and thank you for asking that, because before we do all this work, it's very important for us to be super specific on who we're targeting, who we're talking to, right? Like, what is exactly the person? What is her context, right? What is her, demographics and psychographics? And also, what's the specific problem that we're trying to solve? We should not be positioning ourselves as generic, you know, I'll help you solve all your, I don't know, relationship problems or something like that, right? We should be more targeted. We should think about who can we help the best, generate the most profound transformation. Who do we actually like to work with? That's very important to know. And then, for example, if you position yourself as just, I'm a relationship coach, that doesn't resonate too much with anyone in specific, right? But if you say that I help men that are on the brink of divorce, you know, to save their marriage, you know, that's super accurate. And you will know exactly what questions to ask them when you're interviewing those clients, those potential clients, and to extract the emotional words. What are they feeling during the day? You know, so we have to reach a stage where they actually describe how their day looks like. Like, I get home and I don't even know how to approach my wife. I mean, every day looks like I'm about to quit everything. You know, once we reach that stage, it means, okay, we got the emotional words. And how to get there? You ask questions like, so how does the date look like? You ask probing questions, not just let them do some generic answer, but yeah, but how does it make you feel? And how does it look like? Can you describe a bit more for me how your day-to-day looks like? You know, and this is an exercise that I believe everyone should do with their clients, previous clients, because so many important data points that you can actually then reuse in your communication. You become basically a professional copywriter just by copy-pasting what your clients actually said.
Yeah. So now, which brings up the other point, because you say you want to, you know, instead of you know, doing the funnels and reaching the direct people through new, customer acquisition. You want to get the people in your circle, the people you already know, right? But the common thing I always hear is that, well, I don't know anybody. Who do I contact? How do, you know, my family won't buy from me, or my friends don't buy from me because, and we get all the same excuses. Now, most of the time, I think it's based on fear, and you know, people don't have a thought process. But what would you say to those people, and who would be, you know, the market you're talking about? Because again, if I'm selling, men's shorts, I wouldn't exactly call my sister and say, "Hey, I got a pair of men's shorts for sale." Like, how do you determine? Like, I mean, because you can't just to say to people you know, because those excuses come up, and it's a lot of time. Again, it's fear, and people don't know who you're referring to or who's in that market that you're talking about. So, how do you determine who's in that sphere?
Absolutely. Great question. So the first thing that we should mention is that what you said, afraid of asking. That's one of the things that we should completely remove from our entrepreneurial career, because one of the key things that I had in my experience lately is the losing the fear of asking and asking more often. This is super important because we tend to kind of hide things. Maybe you want this, or we tend to be like indirect in our requests, but that should be completely removed from the equation because we're not important in this equation. What matters is the market, the people around us, our clients are our business, basically. So we should remove our fears, our frustrations, or, you know, everything that goes around our minds that is just blocking us, basically. And we should think, okay, I'm not important in this equation. My clients are. So that's the first thing, okay, to think about. And the second thing, of course, you have your contacts list, previous clients you worked with, leads, your friends, LinkedIn connections, etc. You also have an audience of some sort, right? You could have like a Facebook profile, LinkedIn profile. So the first thing is to ask yourself, okay, who in my current audience actually needs, like you said, actually needs my new product or service, right? You make a list of it and you can approach those people and simply just ask them for, like, hey, I just created this amazing thing. I would love to show you, to get your opinion on it. First, you can actually start tapping into those people that you know would need your offer, right? But you also have a big portion of people that don't need your offer, right? Like you said, and for those, we can create something that actually need. So they might not need what our product or service, but everyone needs money of some sort, right? Everybody wants to help you in some sort of way. So what I like to do, and of course something that Jay Abraham defends a lot, is to create your own referral program, right? To be proactive about that, right? To say, hey, I have this amazing program. If you know anyone who'd be interested or is in this sphere, let me know. And if that person becomes my client, I have a referral fee for you, or some sort of compensation. And you'll be surprised by how many people are willing to help you, even refusing the referral fee. But just the fact that you're asking it proactively and tapping to all your network, you'll slowly start identifying those super connectors, those people that love to help others and love to recommend people to others. And that's exactly the second M, how you maximize your established relationships. And that's the second step.
Right. Now, that fear is real. And I mean, it's easy to say just stop being afraid, but I mean, it's not really going to happen just because somebody says that. Now, a lot of the things that people are afraid of is that what would they think? Or what if they don't like what I'm selling? Would that just strain our relationships? Or what if they don't buy from me? And it's funny because sometimes they're afraid to ask, and then that person they're afraid to ask ends up buying the same product from somebody else. And that person ends up being pissed off. And all of a sudden, you know, like you go out and that happens and they're like, hey, is something wrong? No, everything's okay. No, everything's not okay. The person's pissed. They don't want to tell you why, because it was their fault for not asking. But so it becomes awkwardness. So it's one of those things that you can't get mad at the other person because you're too scared to tell them that you're in a certain business or you're offering a certain product. But the reality is that's the way it goes. They're too scared to ask for whatever reason. And then when they buy from somebody else, they're pissed off. But it's one of those things. How do you tackle that? Like, how do you bring it up? Like, I mean, you're not just going to, like, I'm not going to call you and say, Tiago, I sell real estate today. Call, you got to sell your house so I can make a commission. Like, it doesn't work that way. like how would you approach it?
The losing fear of asking, right? Like you said.
Yeah. Like, how would you bring it up? Because, I mean, you're not going to just go knock on the door and say, hey, I sell this. You're buying today, right? Like, it's usually like sort of not indirect, but it's sort of like a soft introduction, if that's what I mean, in a way.
Yeah, exactly. So you're completely right. But just going back again to the fear of asking, and just I'm not just telling people to lose the fear, but maybe a good question to ask for those people that are in that situation is this new business you're trying to create really that important to you? I mean, are you going to let your own fears and beliefs, limiting beliefs, be in your way for you achieving exactly what you want to achieve, right? And maybe you don't have it very clear. Maybe you don't have your vision is super clear, like what you want to go, where do you want to be, how much you want to achieve, how your life is going to look like once you achieve it. Maybe that's the first step that they'd be thinking about, because after you do that, it becomes much easier for you to, okay, I'm just gonna do it. And no matter what, I'm going to refuse all the other things. I'm going to be super focused and do this until it works, not if it works, right? That's just, so I think that that's very important to have the vision very clear. And you actually have to really want to achieve this. Otherwise, you won't lose this fear of asking, right?
And then, as a
way to ask people around. So I think this is a really good approach. The tapping into all the people you think will need your offer and simply asking, hey, I'm creating this amazing new offer, product, service, whatever, that helps people get this specific, very specific goal that you know people want after you interviewed people. And then you say, I would just like to have 10 to 15 minutes of your time. Just wanted to show you and get your feedback on it. That's one a good way to approach it. Or if you want to use only one strategy to contact all of your contacts, you can simply say, I would love to show you this new offer. And because maybe you know someone who would be interested in it, right? So you can approach it always as asking, do you know someone? And you'll find out that a lot of times it happens that people actually want it for themselves. And you're not directly telling them, selling to them, right? They feel like, oh my God, yes, this actually would be a good fit for me. I don't want to even show it to other people. So this is a good indirect way to ask for something specific. Either you want their feedback, and they will show that they're interested in it, or you want them to just ask for referrals, you know?
Right. I'm going to touch upon the whole relationship business here, right? Like, it's one of those things that if you start off with that approach with somebody you haven't talked to in 11 months, it's not going to go very as well as you expect. Like, the key thing here is you can't just, you know, go and call people you've never talked to, you haven't taken interest in their lives, and all of a sudden decide you have something to sell, so you want to call them up, right? Because I think everyone can relate to this. How many times have you been at home and doing your own thing, and all of a sudden your phone rings, and it's somebody you haven't talked to in 11 months, and just say it's Bob Smith? You don't go, oh, Bob's on the phone, right? You turn around and say, ah, fuck, what does this person want? Right? Because what happens is that you don't think it's a random call. Like, let's be honest, our brains are taught to survive. And survival comes from finding negativity and distrust. That's really what it is. And because you're always looking at, beware, watch out. You know, like, ooh, how's that going to hurt me? Ooh, how's that going to hurt me? Ooh, can that help me or is that going to hurt me? And we naturally think like that because our brains are wired to protect us. So when you haven't heard from somebody in 11 months and you see their phone, they could literally be calling to say, hi, how are you? But because it seems that the only time they call is when they need something, the natural reaction is, ah, fuck, what does that person want? Right? So so if you do that and say, oh, I want to present something to you, and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, they're going to try to sell me something. Right? And now you don't even want to meet the person. And what happens is instead of building that layer of trust, you created a gap of distrust. And now when they see your name, they're going to actually begin to resent you. So There's a way to build that relationship. You just don't go right into it.
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, I said established relationships at the beginning. So established relationships, you should have some sort of connection.
But the thing is, Bob Smith is somebody you've known. You've known the guy for 10 years. You've gone to school together. Yes, yes, it's just you don't keep in contact. So that's obviously true. Where you would start off is the people you talk to on a regular basis.
Of course, you don't go straight to the question in that case, right? How are you doing, man? Long time no see, my God. You create a rapport in some way, of course. That's part of the deal. But don't lose too much time on it, because, I mean, they know that you have something to ask them, or they have something a new update for them, right? So I don't mind going straight. In my experience, in my client's experience, there's a lot of goodwill in people. People actually want to help you, especially if you position it in this way. Of not trying to sell them directly, but simply saying, look, I have this amazing thing that generates this outcome that most people would be interested in. And I would love to show you, would you have just 10 to 15 minutes to have a chat with me? It's a very, very easy yes, because it's a short call, right? And then because maybe you might know someone who would like to or would need this offer. So, and it activates the helping out mode of people. And you will see that most people love to help you out. Of course, many people won't, and it's okay. It's just part of the game. But we need to be willing to ask, and not being, also again, not having that fear of rejection or being too attached to the, this has to work right now. Everyone has to say yes and send me my clients. It has to be, it's always a numbers game and a persistence game, right?
Right. Now, where I was going with that example that I gave you, there's a way to approach Bob Smith in a way that he's not offended because you don't keep in contact. Now, the idea is that you can keep in contact. So my route, my way of is start rekindling relationships that you haven't had. Meet up with them, have coffees, don't even bring up your product. Meet with them 2-3 times. And naturally, in those conversations, what's going to happen? Hey, what are you doing these days?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got this new product that I'm selling, or I got whatever. Oh, what's that about? Oh, and I mean, the first coffee might be, I don't have a lot of time today. I mean, not you. I mean, the Bob. I don't have a lot of time today, but I'd be interested in meeting up with you maybe, you know, again in a week or two. And I'd be interested in hearing about this product because it sounds interesting. And then you can just say, hey, I got a perfect thing I can present to you. Because, hey, you may not be interested, but at least you'll understand what I'm doing. And you might not know somebody who is.
Yeah.
So what happens is you didn't go off the gate to say, hey, buddy, how's it going, when you have a hidden agenda. And they're just like, I knew it, right? So your agenda is really, we haven't talked in a while. Let's have a coffee. Don't even bring up your product. Because naturally, what happens? You meet up. First thing is, what are you doing with yourselves these days? That opened the door.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That absolutely works even better. Of course, if you want to do all those meetings in your day,
but
that would be super good.
Yeah. I'm talking about the way to reach for people you've lost the connection to, right? How to rekindle that relationship.
Yep.
So, I mean, the ones you talk to every day or every week or once a month or whatever it is, they're used to hearing from you. So it's not so out there for you to present it, to offer, you know, something, to show them something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. Of course, in that case of like people you actually know physically and you have contact, that can make complete sense to do that approach. But you also might have some LinkedIn connections that you never actually met physically, but that you have some sort of connection. You've interacted in the past.
I got a problem with that. I got people doing that stuff to me on LinkedIn, and I can't stand it. It's one of those things that I don't want an assistant, because I have so much bookings that I need to book for me and all that, and do all these works that I don't want to do myself. I have them because I want them to answer my social so I don't freaking see this shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's the truth. I go, the only reason I need an assistant is so I don't have to answer my own social, because I get all these friggin' crap every friggin' day, and I'm just sick of seeing it. The problem is too many people are trying that now. Hey, buddy, how you doing? I mean, I don't know you. You've never talked to me. I said, I can help your clients. Who the hell says my clients need your help? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you might as well send me a flyer. You know what I mean? Like, I think at that point in time, start your damn funnels. You know what I mean? Like, you're better off, because the people who want to talk to you will see your funnels. And if they have you on LinkedIn, they'll have a conversation with you on LinkedIn because they saw your funnel, right? I think that's a lot better than just these random texts. And again, maybe in the beginning it wasn't so bad because not everybody was doing it. So every so often it's like, oh, new guy, new girl, whatever. Hey, how's it going? Okay, you know, nice to connect with you and all that. But the problem is now everyone's doing that. And it's becoming so repetitive that, I mean, flyers are less annoying than this. You know,
If it's direct to sale, it is annoying indeed.
Yeah.
Like you said, that's absolutely.
Yeah. So I think at that point in time, I'd rather do the funnel because it's less annoying. Right. So, and that's just me and my opinion. And obviously it works. Let's be clear for everybody watching this going, I knew that stuff didn't work. No. It works. But it's annoying people. At some point in time, you're going to end up being on block, right? So it's just the way it is. Clearly, it works. But, I mean, you have to decide what's right for you. Let's be honest, right? Because that approach is not right for me. That, like, somebody, when people do that stuff, I put them on mute. I never see this stuff again. And I do it on purpose because I don't want to see this stuff. But that's not everybody. And also, I get the sheer volume of those kind of messages that I get is another story. Most people don't get that volume that I get. Prime example, my emails, I get about 30,000 emails a month.
Oh,
I get, in terms of LinkedIn messages with all that stuff, I get roughly somewhere between 28 to 56 a day. And and sometimes people repeat themselves because I didn't answer. So, like, you know what I mean, or they didn't like the answer I gave them. And then let's not even get into how many messages I get on Instagram with bullshit of how I can help you with this and help you with that.
Oh my goodness!
Right. So when you add all the platforms, I'm seeing hundreds and hundreds of things a day, and it's obnoxious, right? So I prefer the funnel, because if I see something I like, I will click. Right. So, but if I see Tiago in my inbox all of a sudden, it's like, well, I know him. We're buddies. or we've had conversations before. Yeah, I wonder what he's up to. Let me check.
Yeah.
That's different. So my advice is, if you want to reach out to people on LinkedIn, build a relationship with them first. And then when you're conversing, bring
it up. Exactly. I don't recommend people to just go cold to people that haven't heard of ever in the past. What I meant is your LinkedIn connections, which you've had for a long time. They've seen your posts. You've seen their posts. You've interacted.
That's only people you've interacted with. If you haven't interacted, because I have lots of people on LinkedIn. I don't interact with them.
Exactly.
Unless they have a message of how they're going to help.
That is not recommended at all. You'll just be blocked if you just, like you said, if you keep doing that, like for cold people that don't know you from anywhere, that would be
in trouble. Yeah. Exactly. Awesome. Now, the other thing is, going back to what you're saying, you said that the, let's be honest, funnels work. I find funnels the same repetitive thing again, like I said in the beginning. It's always the damn thing. You're clicking to download the book, then they're trying to get your information so they can add you on their mailing list. That's just common knowledge now. It happens so much, it's sort of like it almost feels a little disingenuous. But the point I'm getting at is it clearly works. It clearly introduces you into new people. So why not do that if that's the quick... Look, most people don't want to talk to the people they know because they're scared. So they want to immediately go to the funnel, like we said. Now, with that being said, you're saying go directly to connections, right? Which makes more sense because they'll be more receptive. Yeah. But why not do the funnel at the same time? Why not participate if we clearly don't know it works?
Of course. You can definitely go it at your own will. But the only issue on my point of view is if we don't have, like we said, an offer that is proven to work, you know, you might be just spending a lot of money on ads and wasting it because, you know, it's not something that's proven to work. It's very easy to waste money on ads. And then if you don't have a deep budget, it's going to be a problem for you, right? So what I advise first is for you to, like I said, use your own connections to start selling, start proving that your new offer that you created actually works and people actually want it and people actually implement it and have results. They're important, have results out of it. And at some point it will make sense for you to, okay, this is validated. This is working. I'm having constant people, referring each other because I'm proactive about it. Like referrals are you're expanding your impact through the referrals. And then at some point, okay, this is working. This is already proven to work. I can go create like the funnel, like you said, maybe add some, introductory product like a mini course or a book or whatever. And then it makes sense for you to start testing it out because you already have you already know that it's going to work and the right people that see the message are going to buy it and you have enough income to cover up for your ad budget. But it's a problem if you're just starting out and you go directly to the ads. That's where most people like get lost and most of them quit or just lose a lot of money and then, this doesn't work, it's crap. That's my only objection, you know, for people that are starting out and don't have a proven offer. Like enough lifetime value to be enough to pay for each customer that they're trying to achieve, right? If you're not able to pull out $1 out of every dollar that you invest in ads, you're going to be in big trouble. That's my only objection to it. I know it works. It's absolutely the best way for you to scale your business without being talking to people one-on-one constantly. But until you get there, I believe the established relationships is the best way to go.
Right. That makes sense. Now, here's another touchy subject that I find. So many people I see start a business and the first thing is, how are you going to promote it? And they always say, I'm going to use social media and I'm going to use organic growth. You know, because every time you say, oh, how much ads are you going to do? Well, I'm not going to do ads. I'm going to build my business organically. And 99.9% of the people that has ever told me that has been out of a job when I see them again a year later. So obviously, clearly, it doesn't work 99% of the time. So what is your experience based on organic? Is it because organic no longer reaches, or do you think it's the people's approach to it?
It absolutely still works, yes. It depends on what you want to do out of social media. In my opinion, again, social media is a conversation starter. It's not for, I don't like to be on the game of like constantly doing reels and stuff just for the sake of creating content and growing an audience. In my opinion, social media should be a way for you to raise the hands of the right people that are like ready to work with you. And I love to use those hand raising posts, you know, those where you just say, hey, look, I'm looking for this kind of person that is willing to achieve this outcome. If you're interested, let me know, send me a message or, you know, or comment below. And like that, if you do those kind of posts in a kind of a regular basis, you'll start seeing that the right people will start saying, yeah, I'm interested in knowing more. And they have an excuse. And you have an excuse to talk to them and understand if they really have a problem you can help solve. And while you're talking to people through messaging, you can more easily send that person to a sales call, for example, and then close that person, instead of just creating content and then telling people to go to your bio, and then they get lost in your bio, and then they go to some website and nothing happens. It's better for you to capture the right people and start talking to them immediately. Okay, so that's my approach for social media, is just creating those hand-raising posts. But I'm not a big fan of like you yourself of going there just for the audience growth and hoping that something comes out of it.
Yeah, because too many people, they're trying to build the business through social. Yeah. The key word there is social. Like that, it's in the damn name,
yeah.
Right? But I mean, people don't want to be social. They want to be promoting. It's just interesting how that works out. Now, you know, and there's many, many people out there that quit their job because they're going to be YouTube stars. And, you know what I mean? Like, and again, this content creation thing has become a phenomenon. And I don't think it's going away. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But I'm thinking there's a right way to use it and there's a wrong way to use it. And I think most people have an idea without the thought through a process of how to actually make it work out.
Yeah, absolutely. Because unfortunately, you cannot put followers in the bank, right? Or likes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, on top of that, that's another thing people do. They don't feel that their followers are high enough. So what they do, they buy followers.
Yeah.
The problem is when you have 20,000 followers and only 3 people like your post, it is clear that they're not real followers. Or you're doing something so incredibly wrong that nobody cares to see what you put out there. So again, so it's always got to be about some form of, you know, strategic movement and some form of genuine, you know, output there. So awesome. Like, what would you say is your niche market? Like, who do you, who's genuinely attracted to your offers?
Yeah. So I'm mostly focused on people that are helping others generate some sort of results, right? So specific results to help them in their personal life or professional life. So coaches, consultants, service providers that are willing to generate profound transformations through high ticket services. But they're like, their main issue is like they're cringing on to make, it makes them cringe to think about like, I have to post reels every day, like you said, generating random content just for the sake of it. Or they're tired of wasting money on ads that just suck up their budget. They may even try to do those, you know, those free live events, you know, master classes or the, I don't know, free challenges, you know, and to try to suck just a couple of motivated clients out of those free freebie seekers. So those are my people. And I love to meet them and make them understand, okay, you already have a lot of things around you. You can already leverage everything, like I said, around you to start and create a very cool, sustainable business and leverage other people's networks as well. So you're not alone in this. You can make people help you create an offer they want to have, make people send you potential referrals, and it's more than enough for you to reach a stage where, okay, I'm ready now to start scaling this business to the ads, the funnels, hiring people. But until then, you should not be overly distracted with those things and just focus on the core, you know, the things that are always worked in marketing and business.
Fantastic. Now, with that being said, where do you see yourself going within the next 5 years?
Yeah, so the next 5 years, I definitely am going to be focusing on removing myself from this business. It's definitely in the plans for the next year to start becoming a bit more irrelevant, to hiring more people to replace me, to have a bit more, you know, more time, because it scares me lately, the thought that, you know, if I get sick or if I need to leave for 3 months, you know, everything is going to crumble down. So that's not the perfect place to be. And definitely that's going to be on my site, because I want more freedom. I want to be free to go whatever I want, whenever I want, with my family, spend time with my family, and just enjoy life. So that's and while generating amazing results for my clients, that's like the ideal stage.
Right. See, so you have the same issue that I had, and yeah. Or where, you know, that many people have, and many entrepreneurs go through. We want to become entrepreneurial, and we want to be self-employed and be an entrepreneur to create freedom. But all we do is create a job for ourselves with a fancy title. And eventually, some people get past that and realize that I wanted a business, I created a job, yeah. And maybe I had to start this way to begin. But to get to the next level, I got to go beyond myself, which is exactly what you just talked about.
Exactly. That's we don't think about that when we begin, right? I can do everything on my own, but it takes time for you to reach it. Yeah.
It's fear, right? Because it's like everything costs money. You're like, okay, well, I made 100 grand this year, but you know what? If I hire some, that's 60 grand. That leaves me with 40 grand. And you know what? I mean, my bills are 60 grand. So I'm at a $20,000 loss. Now all of a sudden, oh, okay, now I made 150. I can afford that. So you hire somebody, all of a sudden there's new expenses. And now you're at that, still at the loss and you're going, oh, I'm not ready. And that's the thing that plays in your head. Which again, if you remember what I said at the beginning, your mind is conditioned to protect you, but protecting comes in the form of beware, watch out, be careful, don't go too fast.
Yes.
But the reality is, unless you're willing to progress and you're willing to take those calculated steps and you take that initial move, you end up stuck.
Absolutely. Resistance wants to keep you safe, but it's very limiting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of your progress.
Absolutely. Now, we all have mindset problems when we start off, right? Like we always have those negative things, but to come where you like to get to where you've gone now and to get to the level that you've reached now, you've had to conquer that or at least, you know, built yourself up to move to the next level. How did you tackle those negative thoughts in your head?
Yeah, that's a very amazing question. And something I've been thinking even more and more lately about, what to do when things don't go wrong, when things don't go exactly the way you're planning it to go. It's one of the things that, you know, I think most people quit at some point because of you know, those negative feelings that you have. And I think what helped me to just keep going is, like I said at the beginning, having a very strong vision of where I want to be, having a clear plan, a simple plan to follow, because being an entrepreneur is already so complicated. If you put on top of that very complex systems and strategies, you're going to lose your mind. So having something specific to do daily, like one thing for marketing, one thing for sales, one thing for, you know, delivery of your programs, services, etc. And if you do those three things a day, you're fine. You know, everything's going to be fine eventually. And you start becoming less and less outcome dependent. You know, like I need to have specific results right now. Things have to sell right now. I think that's one of the biggest changes that happened to me that helped me keep going and, you know, reach the levels that I want to achieve, is to become less outcome dependent, not stress out immediately when something is not going exactly how I want, just trusting the process, doing the things that simple things that I have to do daily, and I'll feel fine. Okay, it's going to be fine. Things are going to align. Just that positive, the positive mode is so, so important in this world. And something you've mastered, I'm sure, Mr. John.
Well, it's work in progress, right?
Always a work in progress.
Awesome. All right. So in light of time, I'm going to get down to a couple more questions before I get into what I call the lightning round. So with the second last question is going to be, how do you know you've had a successful day?
Exactly what I said just now. If I did those three things, simple things, one marketing, one sales, one something for my programs and products, I already feel fulfilled, and I don't reach the end of the day think, I did so many things, but nothing was progressed, you know, and I don't have head space to deal with my family. Yeah, those thoughts get rid of once you have very clear, simple plan per day.
Awesome. Anybody watches this and wants to reach out to you, where would they go?
So they can shoot me an email if you have any questions about what we discussed here today or the comments, whatever, at tiago@tiagofari.pt. Or if you want to have a quick chat with me, I love to meet new people in this area, just book a free call with me at tiagofari.pt/call, and then we can have a brainstorm and think of cool ways for you to start implementing what we talked about here today.
Fantastic. All right, let's get into the lightning round with question number one, which is, what is your favorite food and why?
My favorite food is bacalhau. Bacalhau is a local Portuguese dish. It's codfish and with cream, bacalhau com natas, codfish with cream.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. I've never had it, but then it's the first time I've heard it. But it sounds interesting. Awesome.
You definitely have to.
Favorite travel destination and why?
Me and my wife, we love to go to Malaysia because it's a very peaceful country, very also developed. And also have the amazing mix of beaches, of temples. We just love the vibe and we would see ourselves living there. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So that could be future plans there.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. All right. Favorite podcast and or book?
Favorite book? I would say this one. Yeah. Getting Everything You Can or All You Got by Mr. J. Abraham. Definitely recommend, because it's all of the, you know, again, the core, the timeless strategies. Just think about everything in terms of what you have, what you have around you, and leverage all of those things. And it's definitely a big read for me.
Love it. All right. Last but not least, if you were given unlimited amount of money, but only 48 hours to spend it, what you spend, you get to keep. What you don't spend gets taken away. What would you do?
I have to choose only one thing?
No, you can do whatever you want. you have unlimited amount of money, no budget. You can do whatever you want. The catch is you have to spend the money in 48 hours. What you don't spend is taken away. What you do spend, you get to keep.
Interesting. I think I would help out my whole family somehow. Like, get rid of all debts, get rid of all issues that have around us, and just make my family completely satisfied and fulfilled. I think that would be my first step. And if there's some money left, I would just put it on for traveling, discovering the world. That's exactly what the whole purpose of me doing this work is, just to be free with my family and just discover the world and have experiences. Yeah.
Fantastic. Tiago, it has been phenomenal. I want to say thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, John. It was a true pleasure, and hope people get out of this some cool value and cool tips to implement today.
I'm sure they will. It was awesome. All right. If you like what you saw and you want to see some more, subscribe to the link below. Thanks for tuning in to the John Papaloni Show.